creators. Welcome to the Money and Triple X podcast, the podcast by creators for creators. We're brought to you by Minx Digital. You can check us out for all your creator course and marketing needs. Our website is minxdigital.com, M-I-N-X-X-X-Digital.com, or you can follow us on our socials at Minx Social, M-I-N-X Social, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. You'll find us all there. I'm your host, Stella Sky, and today we are joined with Finny from Finny's Playhouse.
Hello.
I met Finny back in Miami, Miami Exotica, which I wore the shirt today to commemorate.
Let's go.
Yes. So, Finny, just a little intro for people who might not know who you are. Who's Finny?
Hi. Well, I'm Finny. Yeah, Finny, my brand is Finny's Playhouse. I'm a spicy creator, also just all around content creator, streamer, TikToker, influencer, all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Just try to check every box.
But we have to be everything, right? Like there's no like just doing pictures only.
Nah. That's a very small part of what we gotta do. There's so much more. Like me, so if I'm shooting a scene, I'm the actor, I'm the director, I'm the producer, I'm the cameraman, I'm the editor,
yeah.
I'm the planner, I'm the producer. Like, I'm finding the venue, like,
yeah.
I'm my own accountant, I'm my own surgeon.
Yep.
I'm
tax preparer.
I'm my own tax preparer.
Wait, so I want to hear about, do you do, like, scripts and stuff when you're making content? Do you prepare scripts for your content usually?
No. A lot of my stuff is... off the top of the head,
uh-huh.
I come up with a lot of stuff on the spot. Like when we collaborated and did TikToks and things like that,
yep.
I found those like before you got there.
Yeah.
In under an hour and something. I just kind of like, because when it comes to scripting, especially if I'm working with somebody new, you're going to like end up playing a role of something that I want you to play. I like my collabs to be centered more around you,
yeah,
your actual personality. Like, yeah, I want it to be organic. That way, I feel like it's like peak mutually beneficial.
Yeah.
Because
you get to be like your own person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let that shine through. I think that's cool. Nice.
Yeah. What your fans like to see. They, you know, they're here for you. They want to see you. So
yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. We talk about it literally every episode, but it is the just be yourself mantra. Like mm-hmm. we always end up being like, what's your best advice? And everyone's like, well, really, you need to like just be yourself. And I think that's really true. It's really important because that is the draw. Otherwise, you're one in a million, right? There's
yeah,
a whole
exactly.
bunch of people out there. But whatever makes you you
mm-hmm.
is what makes you appeal to your audience, right?
You got it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What is your kind of appeal and bend towards your audience? What's your niche?
I think my niche is niche. I'm not.
I hear it both ways.
Niche. It's just
niche.
So, honestly, I've always tried to avoid it. I've always tried to avoid having to just fit in a category. I've done everything in my power.
You do like the fursuit head, right?
Mm-hmm. True. Exactly. So I'm like, all right, well, that's a mascot head. I never really wear it in scenes. But like, I like to use it for comedy stuff and just kind of like the overall theme is to just, I wanted to have a mascot
yeah.
for my brand. But honestly, I don't know. Whenever anybody asks me like what my niche is, there's no box I can check for the standard ones.
I feel like I see a little bit of one. Like humor, for sure, is mm-hmm. like your thing. Like joking, playing around, making funny TikToks. I don't know what yours. Yeah, exactly. Like you're like mm-hmm. the humor kind of end of things, and also like kind of more like vlog style too. Like sometimes, like I see it's like in your house, your content house, which is something I want to talk about too. But
mm-hmm.
like it, you're very much like showing like, here's the house prepared. Like not everybody is showing like their day-to-day life like that on their content.
True.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of the stuff you bring to the table. And then you don't always, but you do have a lot of curvier creators with your content too. I feel like that's a little bit of your, no?
See, I used to like to, you know, I used to like shoot with like mostly like curvier women
yeah.
or like BBW women
but you're
and stuff
away
like that.
From that.
But that wasn't like a strategic thing.
Yeah.
That wasn't something I was doing on purpose or to like kind of like fit a niche or something like that. I've always prided myself on just wanting to work with people who
yeah.
want to work with me.
Yeah.
And then that was majority of who it was, and that's majority of who it was. And then I've grown throughout the years. More models have wanted to work
yeah.
and stuff like that. So that started to give me more of a variety.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going to say. I do see, like, a variety of shapes and sizes in your content, but it seems like, yeah, maybe earlier, or, like, you go back a little bit further. Yeah,
for sure.
But it's not like it's a bad thing. It's not like you're trying to exclude people. Right, yeah.
I just never wanted to, because back then it was, you know, like, models who are, like, curvy or more plus size, I always feel as if, and it's justified, feel as if, like, you know, they get the short end of the stick when it comes to, like, people wanting to work with them. Yeah, there's less people that want to work with them. And I've never viewed it as that. I've always just viewed it as, I want to work with who want to work with me. Mm-hmm. I want to make content that's going to sell. And I want to work with amazing creators of all shapes and sizes. And then with that being said, so whenever, like, a smaller model was considering working with me, they would always, like, hesitate or something, because they'd be like, oh, I'm not big enough, or I'm like, that's not what I was trying to do.
Like, set, like, a stigma a little bit. Like,
so now it's a little bit better now, to where it's like, yeah, I can work with a model that's, like, you know, skinnier and smaller, and I can also work with a model that's, like, plus size. I try my best to not lean too much into the other now, because I don't want that reaction.
Right,
where I don't want people to be like, that's your niche. I'm like, no.
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's an accident.
I want to work with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want anyone to ever feel as if I won't work with them because of how they look body wise or something.
Right.
That's the one thing I definitely always wanted to.
That's good.
You know, people.
You
want to
be inclusive. I
like
that.
Exactly.
Yeah. How do you go about connecting with creators for collabs? Because I know that's something that can be challenging to people, especially if they're new. Like, how do you find somebody that's safe to work with? Because I'm sure we all have had people in our DMs be like, hey.
Well, back then, yeah, it was more so just like sliding in the DMs and hoping for the best.
Yeah.
But as I've, you know, grown throughout the years, like, there's a lot more that goes into it if you want to be safer.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you want to work with somebody that is established. You want to be able to, like, Twitter is definitely the go-to platform where you can go see a person's work.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I look at it. I go see what their work looks like, how consistent are they, who have they worked with previously, you know, are they, does our style fit?
Right.
Or,
yeah, that's important.
You know,
yeah,
because if our styles don't fit and, you know, the things that we're doing, then it's not going to be mutually beneficial. So, like, I can still slide in DMs. If it's somebody that I know that knows them really close, I might hit them up or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, can you connect me with this person? Or referrals, that's what we call that. A lot of times,
networking.
Referrals is more so, like, say I collaborated with you.
Yeah.
And then someone else asked you about me. Like,
right,
oh, you worked with him. What was that like?
Right.
And then you know, say it was a good experience or so. And then they reach out. Like, that's a thing, too.
Sending people. Do you get that? People send people, like, your way? Like,
I mostly get that these days.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it used to be more so just DM sliding. And I still do that here and there.
Right.
You know? But mostly these days, more people reach out to me through referrals from other people that I've worked with.
Going back to the Twitter, what exactly are there certain things, like you were saying, like how frequently they post? Do you care about, like, are you looking at follower count or anything like that? Or what other, if they have other platforms?
I would be lying if I said your follower count, like, didn't matter.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
okay,
if you have, like, 100 followers,
that's probably going to be a no. Because I view that as you're just getting started.
I
only want to work with established people.
Yeah.
So
because the whole point is to basically exchange audiences in a way, right?
Yeah.
Like,
that side of things is important. The point when we're promoing, if I mentioned I work with you and vice versa, like, what's the audience gonna, you know, how they're gonna react? Are they gonna be tuned in?
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that matters. Like, so it's not really a matter of, like, oh, this person has, like, a million followers, I'm guaranteed to say yes. No, I'm just looking at it from a established perspective.
Exactly.
Like, you're
just checking that you're legit.
Established if you have it that high. So now I'm just looking at your work.
Yeah, exactly. Then I can go beyond that and look at that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you do other things, like seeing, like, if they have Pornhub, if they have, like, you use clip sites too, right?
I use ManyVids.
Yeah,
ManyVids is number one for me.
Nice.
Yeah,
so
honestly.
You'll have to teach me because I'd love to learn more about ManyVids. So do you look at those things as well? Are you looking at their platforms and seeing how they perform on there as well?
Yeah. I don't look as thorough as to see how much they charge and stuff like that. But, like, I'll see to make sure that they at least have
what
I post on, because that's when we start getting into paperwork territory.
Yes.
And if I'm working with somebody who has a ManyVids and has an OnlyFans, I'm like, okay, this is going to work. Cross promo on those sites are going to work because they have it.
Yeah.
Easy tagging system, you know. communication with that. Cool. Pornhub as well, because I've recently, within the past year, I've really started utilizing it.
Yeah.
I used to, like, here and there in the past throw stuff on it, but now I've done it more seriously and getting paid. So I'm like, okay, I want to make sure that the person not necessarily has a Pornhub, but is okay with me posting something.
Right, right.
I don't post full scenes, but, like, something on it. Because a lot of people don't,
they don't want to be on there. Because they consider it, like, free and they get nothing in return, but...
And then there's also the people that, like to keep their stuff behind their paywalls, and I don't judge nobody else. Like, people who, like, maybe society, a lot of the people they know don't know what they do, and a lot of stuff is hidden behind personas and paywalls and stuff, and Pornhub is an easier way to, like, see things. So somebody they might, because I had somebody hit me up, I'm not going to name them, but somebody hit me up, like, a week ago about a YouTube video, and she was like, oh, can you take that down? You know, a lot of people I know be on YouTube and they don't know that I do.
Oh, yeah. So in regards, more in regards to, like, they're a secret content creator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel that. Because, that's true. But, I mean, I totally respect people's decision to do that. But I do think you're going to limit yourself. You put a cap on your career when you choose to do that.
True.
Because if you, like, if you're shooting for the stars, like, you want to be a name, right? Like, or maybe you're just looking to make enough to get by. That's going to be your personal decision.
I would like to know. Typically, in that situation, I would like to know in advance what I'm getting into.
Yes.
Because, like, in a situation like that, had I known that I wasn't able to, like, post on, like, YouTube or something, like, I probably wouldn't have done the collab.
Could you even put, like, the content on, like, socials?
It was okay with me putting it on, like... Twitter and, like, Instagram and stuff like that. She has had an issue with YouTube. Like I said, I'm not judging. Yeah. It is what it is.
No, but,
like,
right.
I would just like to know in advance, because stuff like that is a deciding factor if I'm going to bother doing it. Because if I'm really limited on these promo sites that I depend on to get the most from,
100%,
you know, that, then that matters. If I can't do that, then it's like, oh, you want me to just only put it on OnlyFans? And No.
So do you, I have, like, so many questions out of that now. Do you use Pornhub more as promo? Are you using it? Yeah, because that's what I'm thinking, too.
It's just porn YouTube for me.
Right, exactly.
Not even that.
But you get views. It has a good algorithm.
True.
Keywords. It's very SEO optimized. You'll show up in Google searches for that stuff.
Yep.
I always say SEO optimized. It's so silly. Optimized is in SEO. I should just say SEO. So Pornhub, good promo strategy for you. How long have you been using that?
I've had it for 2 years. I used it very inconsistently the first year.
Okay. How long consistently then?
A year.
A year? And what kind of return have you seen from that?
Well, I get paid every month now.
Yeah.
Yeah, monthly
how
now.
How long did that take?
I started getting paid last year.
Okay.
2022. Yeah. That's what motivated me to be consistent.
Right.
I was like, oh, I'm actually getting paid like, from the views and things like that.
And that's from ad revenue?
Yeah. And then I started. Yeah, exactly. Because the Model Hub thing's not really working no more. So it's like.
I know. What's going on with that? I was checking it out.
It was just like card information, like MasterCard and Visa pulling out and messing up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So we only get paid off of like the views of the videos now. So I just started like, and you know, as a creator, I started getting hyped because, you know, Pornhub has their like own, you know, universe pretty much.
Yes, they
do. And like community.
The Spice Bits, right? That's like sexy TikTok, right?
That, their award shows, their, you know, their merch lines, you know, like it's their own thing. You know how people, like how some creators and mainstream people get hype about being on like Brazzers or stuff like that because it's its own thing.
Yeah.
Pornhub is like that. So I was like, oh, this is huge. This is fun to be on.
Yeah.
So it definitely motivated me to be more consistent with it.
Yeah, and I post think it's important. It's something we talk about in our course about, you know, having Pornhub and branching out to these places can be really valuable as advertising because it's the number one porn site. Everybody knows orange block, white text.
Yep.
Everybody knows. There's the one, the TikTok that has like the Childish Gambino mixed in.
That goes into it whenever somebody walks in the room.
Yeah, and the first few times I listened to it, I was like, where do I know this sound from? And then I was on Pornhub and I was like, you're kidding me. Like my brain knows the sound. I thought I was immune, but I'm not. Okay. Going back, because I had more questions about the Twitter stuff. Let's see. So it's important that it's a good match as far as like you want to check before a collab with somebody, like, okay, what socials or sites, fan sites, what are we posting on? What are you on? What are you okay with? So yeah. Like establishing those boundaries ahead of time, really important. And then my other question was paperwork stuff. So where do you get your paperwork from? I know I've found resources before of like which paper specifically to have, but what do you go about for covering yourself legally?
Okay. One more thing before I do that, you were just talking on about like looking at people's accounts and making sure.
Yes.
So another thing you also want to do is make sure that that individual is safe.
Yeah.
Like, so like a lot of things that I do is like, yeah, I'll look at the media section, and I'm a person that trusts their own judgment. Mm-hmm. I understand that in this community, a lot of people don't like people.
Yeah.
And they may, you know, slander others and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can take another person's word on this person. I just need to look at their character for myself. Mm-hmm. Unless it's overwhelming. If it's overwhelming stuff, then it's like, all right, just nah.
Yeah.
But if it's, you know, here and there, I'm like, so another thing I'll do sometimes, tweets and replies.
Yeah.
Here and there, I'll just kind of like scroll. I'm like, how does this individual carry themselves? Because I have to be around them.
Yeah.
Like, and if the way that they interact is like bad character, then it's like, I don't care about your media section anymore.
Right.
Like, I don't know if I want to work with you. This might end up being a troublesome situation. And I mostly shoot out of my own house.
Yes.
So I want these individuals
in
my home.
Yeah, so you have that to consider too. Exactly.
Yeah, but as far as paperwork goes. So... again, I post primarily my spicy stuff on OnlyFans, MediaBits, and Pornhub. All of them have their own things.
Right.
If you can just tag them, great.
Yeah.
Pornhub, you don't
obviously,
get a choice.
Yeah,
but
that's
like,
the easiest.
Yeah, but OnlyFans has their own system that they have to go through.
Right.
MediaBits has their own app. excuse me.
It's seltzer water.
Yeah, but it's not... Okay,
it's
not
a,
app,
it's a mistake.
But toast. But, they have their own paperwork. And for the longest, I was using the MediaBits one because the MediaBits one was working on everything. They have the one
so
that
you're
just,
like sending people like with OnlyFans how you can email them like a release form. You're doing that
no,
route?
No, because I'm not for one app. If you don't have an OnlyFans, we're probably not shooting that kind of content.
Yeah.
Because OnlyFans' tagging system just keeps changing.
I know.
Now it's like digital and you gotta like do it on the phone. But if a person has an account, like they have their own section now. Here, I'll show you. Like they have their own like section, like where you have to do model release stuff. Release forms.
You gotta
go on there. And if you can tag a person, cool.
Right.
Because that's mostly what I do is just tag the person.
Yeah, this one. So I had to do that for my boyfriend. I had to send him because he doesn't have an account, actually. So I literally had to do that release form, like emailing it to him. And then he had to fill out his own.
Does it still work?
It still works for me. It's been working. It's like 9 months ago that he signed his thing that I sent him.
Maybe because
it's
grandfather. But from what I've heard is like, now it's like if you just don't have an OnlyFans account,
they're not going to
let you on there. Like, if you can't tag that person.
Wow.
Which is weird because it's like, why do you even have that model release thing now if the person mandatory has to? So it's different. But, like, just you know, moving on. In Pornhub, you have to front of ID, back of ID, them holding the ID.
Yeah.
You got to have their address information, like accurate address info and all that stuff to get approved before you can put them on there.
Right.
Yeah. So all of it is different.
Do you keep, and then, like, the paperwork out your house?
Yes, I have a folder that I keep everything in. And then I started, originally I had a folder I kept everything in, but now I just use my iPad.
Yes.
Yeah, and just sign it digitally.
Oh, that's so smart.
Save it in Dropbox.
Yeah.
And then I also
that's so smart. Oh my gosh, that's such a, okay, so yeah, iPad form, sign it, save it in a Dropbox automatically. You can access it anywhere. It's really easy to put on the site and upload.
Yep.
That's
so
great.
So, like, God forbid somebody deletes their account or something, you still have the paperwork.
Well, that's something really important. Yeah.
And Quick 2257 is a go-to.
Wait, will you show? Can you? Do you mind?
Yeah, let me. So this is what it's called, Quick 2257. Let me clear out names and stuff.
An app.
Yes.
So that's great. Quick 2257. An app that you can have that'll have that form on there. That's awesome. I think that's great. That's a really good tool. Ooh, I love that.
The go-tos. And then somebody sent me something. I don't use this as much because I'd rather have the verbal conversation. But not that. But it's called a boundaries list. somebody made like a boundaries list and sent it to me, and it has like a lot of things that the person can check and be like, oh, I don't do this and I don't do this, but I'm okay with this. And I was using that for a while, but then I started more so just doing the verbal conversation that we would have before shoot, where I'd be like, hey, can you just let me know what your boundaries are? I'm more of a, would that be cognitive? What would that be called? Like, where I'm more of like a, you have to, like, it sucks when it's reading, verbal or action for me. In that case, I guess it would be verbal, but I can retain it better when it's verbal versus reading a lot of times.
Okay, yeah, you're not a visual. You're more of a kinesthetic and verbal auditory learner? Is that what we're saying?
Because I'm still really good with visual, but just in that situation, you don't find that visually. You want to know beforehand.
Just like a conversation.
But yeah, I was just like, yo, Stella, what are your boundaries? And then you would like, let me know what your hard no's are, your soft no's and all that stuff, and what you want. And then at the same time, after you do that, I'll say mine. But then at the same time, after that, I'll say pretty much things that I do during a scene, typically. And then you would let me know if you're okay with all of those things.
Yeah.
And then I'll be like, all right, cool. So we'll move forward. And then, you know, if there's something that she wants out of the scene, she'll do the same thing. She'll go, I like to do this, 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 and this. Are you okay with this?
Like, they have a mission for that day or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's definitely plenty of things that are, like, popular that are definitely, like, boundary line crossers. Like, there's plenty of things like that. And I feel like most of them come from the fans. Like, people will say things or suggest things. And I'm like,
fans' requests are wild.
Yeah, they can get really crazy. How do you handle, any customs or requests or things like that? Is that something you usually do?
So I don't do customs, but like, because they are outrageous. Yeah. And most of the customs aren't things that like I would either do normally or like, you know, brand wise or anything. So it's, and a lot of my like hardcore stuff is collaborative. Yeah. So it requires other people. So I'm just like,
which is not,
it's just doing too much. Yeah. But like, as far as requests go, the most requests that I get from my fans aren't acts or things they want to see. It's people they want to see.
Yeah. That makes sense. Request that's what you,
people that they that want me to work with. They're like, oh, have you worked with her? We want you to work with her.
Yeah.
Or let me introduce you to this girl. Or, we loved your content with her. Please work with her again immediately. Like,
has that fostered like relationships? Like, have fans brought you together with other creators? Okay. True. That's interesting.
Like, there have been girls that I didn't even know existed. And then they got me hip to them. And I'm like, wow. Oh, yeah. Let's do this. And then other times it could go left and it could be like, oh, we want you to work with my wife. And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine that's probably a request you might get really often.
Yeah. I try to keep things professional. I'm not the guy that you hire to so you can sit and watch me hook up with your girl.
Well, and that kind of goes back to like, you know, your regular Joe Schmo and your DMs, like, can you bang me? Can you bang my wife? Whatever, et cetera. Like, you don't have a platform. There is no mutually beneficial relationship here.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you get out of it. What do I get out of this?
Yeah,
you know,
like you're mistaking what I do with another profession.
Yeah,
I don't do that.
Right, exactly.
This is just, I'm a content creator.
Right. I like being behind the screen, behind the camera.
Yeah, I'm behind the screen. I'm not someone you can hire for your personal leisure.
Well, and it's the longevity of that, right? Like being able to do the clips on the site and do the Pornhub and do the OnlyFans and all of that stuff can just continue existing forever. You don't have to do it every single time.
Look at my mini vids. I'm almost at 500 videos.
Damn, how long have you been doing that?
Mini vids, 2020. So when I started.
Wow, okay.
So I'm at 500, almost at 500 scenes on there.
And wow, are they all collaborative?
Yep.
That's incredible. That's a lot. That's a lot of hard work.
So mini vids. That's the reason why the mini vids is number one. At the end of the day, mini vids is always going to generate something.
I can't believe
because it's such a big catalog.
I haven't actually checked out your mini vids. I'm a terrible person. I should have done my research. I gotta look. Now I'll be looking.
Friendship is over.
Oh my gosh. Well, mini vids is something I'm like ready to do. It's something that I want actually to just have an assistant to do the uploading for me because I have everything already and it's just a matter of putting it up there. And I'm like, I really don't want to sit down and do this tedious task.
I always recommend MiniViz number one to people because MiniViz is as soon as you start uploading and you let your audience know you have one, it's all you're doing on there. I mean, if you can, great, take full advantage of that. Right. You'll make even more.
But have live. Yeah.
But if you are just like a creator and you're just uploading content, you will see so fast how much money you make.
Really?
And that's all you do is just upload.
Yeah.
And I upload 2 to 3 videos a week. That's it.
Really?
I don't be on there interacting. They don't really care for that on many bits.
Right.
Fans. They just want to come by what they want to buy and go about their business.
So it's basically like you get to ignore your DM box on there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I think all that's a big
the
plus.
One where you got to be active.
Yeah. I mean, I think that could be, could be really important for people to know if they're like, I don't know which one to do. If you're not interested in being a chatter, because that's really important with OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Your income, 50 to 80% of your income on OnlyFans should be coming from your DMs. Like that's where the money is. So if you're not willing to do the DM stuff, so many vids is that option, right?
Yeah.
Like if chatting is a no for you, that's really good information.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do you do with your many vids to like optimize it for being found, for purchasing?
So nowadays it's been, well, let me start from the beginning. So when I first started doing it, I would like, Twitter and many vids actually had this thing to where it's like every time you got like, say, 2 sales, 5 sales, 10 sales, they would do like this auto tweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was like the number one for people because it was just self-pro. It did.
Yeah.
It did help. As my stuff started to grow and stuff like that, it kind of got a little redundant.
Yeah.
And so I had to change the settings to like every 10 sales.
So
or
it's
something
still an
like
option.
That. Nope, not anymore.
They took it away?
It's not there no more. It's been gone for like a couple of months now.
Really? Well, and I also recently heard that having auto tweets can potentially flag your account.
Yep.
Yeah.
See, so that was a huge thing for me. Why I started to not like it as much was if I didn't want to, like, say I wanted to not be on social media for a minute and take a break. If I was gone for a week and then say I got hella many vid sales and I got all those auto tweets on my account, when I came back a week from that, my account would be gone. It would be gone.
Wow.
Like Twitter would have got rid of me and told me I was spam or something like that. So I got to like, as many of those auto tweets I was getting, which I told myself I was reliant on for people to keep buying mini vids, I have to tweet just as much so they know I'm
right.
a real account.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's a blessing in disguise that it's gone now. But now it's just kind of like, I used to do a thing where, and I was doing this for most of this year. I stopped again recently. Whenever I dropped a video or a series of videos, I would just make a custom post. I would take both of the mini vids trailers, just make it like one big trailer.
Yeah, for Twitter.
And throw it on Twitter and be like, oh, Finney just dropped these two videos and put the tag on.
Yeah, basically like doing the mini vids thing, but doing it yourself manually.
Yeah. And I was doing that for a while.
Is linking directly to many vids okay on Twitter, or is that also okay?
I do that.
Some things are flags and some things are not, you know? It's so hard to know.
It's when it's like, I guess when it's excessive.
And excessive and it's like repetitive, the same thing where they're like, oh, yeah, this is a bot.
Like I just dropped this and at the bottom of it, I tag the model and myself, and then I put the links, mini vids and OnlyFans pages. See, now it's kind of complicated because I just learned when it comes to Twitter. So I have a sex worker account, 20, obviously. So it's like harder for me to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like shadow banned all the time.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
searching.
So it holds me back in terms of like being seen, my likes, my retweets and stuff. Unless you like follow me already or I'm retweeted by somebody, it's hard for you to even see me.
Right.
But I heard what makes it worse to where it's like virtually you not be seen at all is tagging other sex workers in your stuff. So now you're just adding on to the shadow ban. So what I've learned is that I don't tag my co-star in the original post.
You do a reply.
I do it in the reply. Yeah. Like I'll tag their name and all the links and stuff. I don't do any of that stuff, the links and stuff in the post because it will shadow ban me and it like vigorously, like no one's gonna see it.
Unless
they already,
the only way you're gonna know is like you go search for yourself and see if you show up or not. But
yeah, and it doesn't. a lot of times, but some of that stuff does when I don't do that stuff. And I think other people started to pick up on that too, where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm getting more of a activity on my page when I stopped tagging everything on the original post and just put it in the reply right beneath it.
Super interesting.
Yeah. You still want to tag your co-star.
Of course. Yeah. But we just have to like continue to adapt to overcome these algorithms that are like hell bent on making us go into the shadows. It's super annoying, really.
It is.
Like having to play games with computers, basically.
Yeah. On everything. Like it's weird. It's like, Instagram is another animal on its own with me, because it's like I try my best to tailor Instagram content to Instagram.
Right.
Still stay true to my brand, but not get in trouble.
Yeah.
And it seems like almost everything I post, I don't necessarily get in trouble for, but now they have this section to where it says, eh, you ain't in trouble.
Yeah.
But
the one where it's telling you like your account status or whatever.
Yeah, you can't be seen because of this stuff, even though there's not flaggable stuff.
Right. You might not be able to be recommended. I totally had that happen. And I've like appealed them. Definitely like one time somebody went on my account in like a rage and like reported a bunch of stuff because like I woke up and like all this stuff that was just, it was normal, like flagged.
Yeah.
And I had to appeal it all. And like at least though they tell you, like, this is the issue. Like, they might not be like, here's how to resolve it or something like that. But at least they're showing you and you don't have to, like, play a guessing game, I guess.
Yeah, that gets annoying.
Right.
But then I tried to do the thing where it's like, oh, if you delete these five, you know, you'll be good. And I delete those five and they just replaced it with another five that was on the page.
Okay, great. Now that you've done the first task, here's the other five we want taken care of.
And there's like 50 after that.
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay. So no, I'm just going to keep doing me.
I had something new happen the other day. I was going to post an Instagram story and it was innocuous. It was not sexual. And I wrote the word "but" in the text. I can't remember what I was typing. But before I posted it, it like had a little pop up and it was like, uh-oh, like this might be, you know, offensive. It might potentially get you in trouble. And I was like, what? And I was like, no, post it anyway. I'm using "but" like a normal term. Like,
flagged you, didn't they?
Huh?
Flagged you, didn't they?
They did not end up flagging the story. But that's the first time I've seen it on a story. And that's the first time I've become aware of like, oh, the stories are being monitored more closely now. Because I feel like there was a little more freedom with them.
Yeah.
They go away after 24 hours. But then I was like, okay. Like, I'm not sure what's going on here. Or maybe there's just more eyes on my account, too. I don't know. There's the constant feeling like you're being watched, you know?
Wow. One thing that people don't realize when it comes to Instagram is a lot of things that get you in trouble is not the post itself. It's the captions. A lot of times,
the
captions that get you in trouble. Like if it sounds like you're trying to direct people to like a spicy account,
that's the big one, right?
Yeah,
what they care about.
I'm very cautious to ever say the words link in bio.
People do all kinds of crazy things to avoid saying that. But I mean, people get it. Right? Like, we really don't have to say it anymore. Like, people know where to look. They get the game. It's kind of like being on TikTok. Like, you don't have to say you have an OnlyFans on TikTok, and do not say you have an OnlyFans on TikTok. But people know. You just a little wink, wink, blue, white heart, and they know where to go. They've figured it out.
Most of the audience that we get these days comes from TikTok.
Yes.
So, like, yeah, they know. They're aware. They will find it. Even if you don't have, like, a direct link to it on your TikTok, they will find it.
They're going to find you. They'll be, you know, commenting Twitter. And then another thing, just kind of to cap off this social media thing, how careful are you in your DMs? Like TikTok, I don't do messaging at all. Instagram, people want to discuss anything business related, like buying content. I'm like, I will not talk about it with you here. You got to go like to Snapchat or you can go on my OnlyFans. Like I have a free trial. You can have like go over there. I'm not going to have this discussion here because as far as I know, that counts too.
Yep. The only time I don't do none of that on any of my social medias, Twitter, unless you're a mutual, you can't DM me.
Yeah.
Instagram, unless you're a mutual, you're going like you're like in the, all those berry folders. Yeah. That I like look into here and
the
there.
Message requests.
Message requests, hidden requests. You're going
the hidden requests. Yeah. That's the real cesspool.
That's the cesspool.
Holy cow. Yeah, yeah. You ever like just kind of scroll through the hidden requests and you're like, oh man. My God.
So glad I got thick skin. Like, that's the one.
Yeah.
But like.
That place is scary.
So originally it's like, okay, if you want to talk that kind of stuff and you're not doing it publicly, like tweeting at me or something like that. OnlyFans DM would be okay. Minivids DM would be okay. It's mostly OnlyFans DM.
Yeah.
Here and there, people would email me as long as it wasn't some stupid.
That's true. Like, sometimes I will send my email out. I have several, so I'll give them one I don't care about.
I have a business email for stuff like that.
Yeah, there's the business
just
one.
Don't hit me up with the usual, can you help me get in porn combo? Because that's just.
Do you get that a lot?
Daily.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. So this was a big thing big piece that I wanted to talk to you about, or the big reason that I wanted to talk to you was because you're a male content creator. You're the first one that I'm interviewing for the show.
Yeah.
And I really want to know kind of your perspective because I don't really, I do get asked that question, but the question is really more posed as I want to get into porn with you. And it's a little bit different. So tell me, what are the kind of regular questions or DMs that you get from fans, or we'll just call them fans?
Well, the two that I primarily get is either some variation of, can you help me get into porn?
Yeah.
And then the other one is just kind of trying to ask me how I got a certain girl or something like that.
Okay.
How'd you get her? Like, what the heck? Like, how'd you get her?
Credentials.
Yeah, pretty much. Nice looking resume.
Exactly.
But like the main one, people ask me all the time, like, oh, can you help me? Like, I want to get into porn. I want to be a creator. First, the number one red flag is when it's worded, I want to get into porn.
Yeah.
You didn't ask. You didn't say you wanted to be a content creator or anything. Like, you want to get into porn. So immediately, it's a red flag, and I don't ever take it seriously because it's just another way of people asking, like, I want to fuck girls who do porn.
Yeah.
I want to use that route to fuck these girls that do porn and stuff like that. And sometimes it sucks because it makes me feel as if they view me as that's all I do.
Yeah.
They don't look at me as a creator. Look at me as like, oh, he's just a dude that fucks girls.
Right. They're not
porn.
It's not taking you as a person.
Yeah, as a person or even serious as a creator because you're not putting me on the same level as them.
Yeah, it minimizes what you do.
You're just saying I'm just like a dude who just fucking just discredits me.
As if you don't have your forms ready to go on your phone, your Dropbox that you're uploading to, your Manyvids, your Twitter, all these things that you're managing. You're just fucking girls.
Yeah, so I don't take it personally. They don't know. They don't know the ins and outs of this stuff. So I never really respond to it. The only times I ever respond to that is if it's someone that's already doing it in some form, even if they're just starting out, but they're actually putting forth the effort to become
a
creator.
More.
Yeah, then we can have that conversation.
Right.
As long as I feel like you're serious about it. That's the most important thing. As long as I feel like it's serious. Mm-hmm. 9 out of 10 times, it's not.
Right.
But that one time, there'll be those people that are serious and genuinely want to know.
Yeah.
And we'll have those conversations. Maybe the game is kind of to be sold, not totally.
Yeah, I'll give information
basic
if I have
stuff.
Time.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, I am happy to show you the tools that I use. I'm not going to sit down and hold your hand and go step by step with you unless you want to pay me for my time.
Even that, I'll direct you to someone else, or somebody,
or find you a resource that you can use that I know is reliable.
Do consultations and things.
Absolutely.
I'm not that person because I can offer you what I didn't have, what I don't have and would have never had. That's not how I got to how I,
how I got Nobody here. Did that for me.
And a lot of the times, 9 out of 10 times when people in some shape or form ask the whole, how do I get into porn thing? They're asking because they don't want to do the work that you did to get into it.
Yeah.
They want you to do the work, but then fill in the blanks for them so they can skip it.
Wait, how do I do this? Teach me how to do this.
Yeah, teach me everything that you learned in the field.
Yeah, all the
teach
time
me so
error.
I don't have to go to the field.
Yeah. That kind of stuff is definitely worth money for your time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I've done there's been girls in my DMs and they just ask me how do you manage to do the TikTok stuff? And I'll be like, okay, let me just look at your profile really quickly and I'll give you some pointers and I'll look over their Instagram and be like, you can't link this in here. Stop posting this kind of stuff immediately. You need to be way more vanilla. That's usually the advice I have to hand out, is people are going way too sex worker on TikTok and Instagram. And I'm like, okay, as long as you're okay not being attached to this account, this better be your burner account, because you want at least one that you can grow big.
Yeah.
Do you use burners?
No.
Number one account, man.
I have one account.
That's scary a little bit, though.
It is, but I do my best to try to, again, tailor the content to the app.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, you've seen my TikToks where, like, I try to be make it more playful
yeah.
than trying to be directly sexual.
You do a good job of like playing that. By the rules, by the TOS rules.
Yeah, totally. So I've never had more than one TikTok. Wow. That one's never been deleted or anything. I've just tried my best to make sure.
Never been deleted? Has the account been banned, like, fully? Like, not just the...
So, I mean, I've had, like, three posts off the top of my head that, like, got...
Yeah.
Like, in trouble. Two mm-hmm. of them appealed and they were fine. Yeah. One of them ended up hitting a million.
Nice.
And then the other one that got like, and it's weird. The one that got like legitimately like content removed is when I put a screenshot of someone who made a fake account of me and I said, report and block them.
Oh, because it's like hate.
Yeah. They speech. Put it as hate speech. And I was like, that's corny. But y'all not going to get rid of the account. Cool.
Yeah.
Brandon can't handle that for me. But like, yeah, I was weird. Nice. But other than that, like, even with my IG, like, I've learned, Instagram taught me pretty much that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I've lost IG accounts.
Right. But and like, then you have to start over. Yeah,
then you have to start over. And I'm like, okay, I've worked hard on the one I currently have. I have a backup, but I don't ever really use it. But even that one's fine. But like, the one I currently have, I was like, I don't want to lose this.
Yes.
So I want to play by the rules. Yeah. I can like, you know, toe the edge, but don't ever cross the line right, type thing.
Just wink, wink. Like, think about how, like, for the viewers or listeners, think about how, like, when you're watching a kid's movie, there are jokes for the adults in the kid's movie, and it's still rated PG. Like, that's what you're going for.
Yeah, that's what you're going for on those apps.
Yes. Yeah. Like, in the Barbie, have you seen the Barbie movie?
I haven't.
I'm obsessed with it. Well, there's a scene in the beginning, and they're fighting on the beach, and he goes, I'm going to beat you off, right? And so, like, that's hilarious to adults, but kids don't know. Yeah, he's like, not if I beat you off first, bro. And, like, that's the kind of line you're trying to be on with that stuff.
Pretty much. What do you call that, like, tongue-in-cheek?
Yes,
tongue-in-cheek. Stuff like that type humor, where it's, like, it's never direct.
Right. Yeah,
because those accounts are important to us as creators and our income and things like that.
Right.
It's very difficult to lose that kingdom foundation and have to rebuild it again.
Yeah. And I think that was a hard concept for me when I first started growing all this stuff, because you're just so eager to like grow your account fast. And you're like, okay, well, if I show all this stuff, like I'll get all these likes. Yeah, but you're going to get flagged and your account's going to get deleted and you have to start from zero again. And it's so much more worthwhile to grow that account, because that really becomes valuable asset to you.
Yep.
You know, as a creator, if you're going to other creators to collab, it makes you, you know, take you seriously. It might even be the difference between getting responded to or not in DMs. Yeah, 100%.
I'll be honest, from my perspective, like, I don't think if I didn't build my socials to what they are today, I would not be able to do a lot of the work that I'm able to do today, because a lot of people look at that and be like, oh,
they're looking at their followers on like, messages.
They look at my message, they look at my IG account and they'll look down, the following's cool, but they'll look at the work, the consistency, how everything looks. Like, okay, it's sexy, but it's still like, he knows how to IG enough to where we can post on there, it'll be successful and I won't get banned or anything.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Then they'll look at the TikTok, like, okay, he actually knows how to do like TikToks.
Yeah.
Like, so like, and I want to work with someone that knows how to do TikToks. Like, I know, what's the guy's name? My friend just worked with him recently. Pressure. Have you ever heard of Pressure?
No.
He's a male content creator. Might say he's a porn star. He's really good at TikTok. From what I've seen,
really?
Like, he's actually like, he has his own unique way of doing TikToks that are, you know, tongue in cheek, provocative, but you know, he's consistent. They're good. He always have bomb co-stars and stuff like that. I saw it because my friend worked with him recently and I was able to see like all his TikToks. I was like, oh yeah, these are good.
Yeah.
This is someone that actually knows how to use TikTok versus just going on there, throwing up whatever and hoping for the best.
Right.
Yeah.
Stuff like that matters. You're just starting out. You're going to have to do that. You'll find your way.
Exactly.
You know, and then you'll be able to kind of refine your craft as you go on. Don't worry about being perfect in the beginning. But what we're saying is, how important that is the further you are in your career to have built up that account, to have those resources that you can show to other people. It's your living resume.
Yeah. It's basically definitely a difference maker. Yeah. People can look like, can see the resume. Results in the work is what's most important when it comes to, at least with me, when it comes to like collabing with people.
Totally. Yeah. Right.
And more importantly, for people wanting to work with me.
Yeah. What's your traffic like? Because that is going to become my traffic. Those are the eyes that I'm going to get in front of. And that at the end of the day, unless you're doing paid collaborations, right?
That matters, you just get paid.
Yeah. If you're just getting paid, then you're getting paid. And that's simple. So if you don't want to worry about all that stuff, that is one way to go about it. Still make sure, still vet your people. And then another big aspect of all of that and safety is just testing with shoot. So if people are doing that, how do you go about your testing procedure? How many days before, doing testing after? What kind of testing do you require or ask of people?
So I require a full panel testing with the swabs. So I've been doing that since earlier this year. I was on hiatus towards the end of last year, and it got implemented the end of last year, the swabs thing.
Because that's for MGen, right?
That's another conversation. That's new.
Right. Yes, so
the swabs is rectal oral, that even, you know, male and females have to do when they go test. So I used to just go and do, I'll go there, like say I go to cleared, they'll do the blood stuff, they'll do the swab in the mouth, I have to do the anal stuff and the urine sample in the bathroom. And that's what I've been requiring thus far. And then, like, as long as it's under 2 weeks, cool. Now, within those 2 weeks, you've done things like orgies or, like, content houses and stuff. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to take that test. Yeah. You got a lot of bodies on it. So that's that. What's new for me now is the MGen thing.
Right. So that's a new STD that is out in case you haven't heard of it.
The new STD.
The newest wake up, babe, new STD just dropped. Yeah. And the reason it's not really well known is because to the public, it's kind of innocuous. You can usually get rid of it on your own. And you don't want to deal with it. And I guess what I've heard is they're trying to, like, not freak people out by not asking, you know, regular non-sex worker people if they want to test or testing for it.
I get that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you've heard anything. That's just what I've heard is, like, the reason they're not really asking about it in the vanilla world is because
they don't want to freak people out.
They don't want to freak people out.
We just had a whole pandemic.
Exactly. And it's not like it's something that your body should just get over on its own.
From what I hear, but it's difficult for us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So if you're a sex worker, that's a little bit different because now we're talking about spreading it to potentially a lot of people very, very quickly. And as I understand it, not everybody is testing for MGen, which can get dicey right now.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't for their own reasons. They either look at it like, because a lot of it also goes into how it's being told to a lot of people, like through like these different sources and things like that. A lot of times it's undersold.
Yeah, they're saying, you can just get over it.
Yeah, they say it to sex workers too, and they'll be like, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's like you can get over fast. It's not at the level of like chlamydia, gonorrhea. Like people have said stuff like that, so they'll see it as like,
but it can be like that.
It
can get to like
and then
that
also fast. At the same time, the other two, I feel like the more two important factors when it comes to certain sex workers not taking the test for it is for one, unless you go to like talent testing where it's free,
if you go to like cleared
or something, you have to pay extra. And then two, which is, let's be honest, the number one reason why a lot of people don't want to test for it is because if you test positive for it, you can't shoot for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you're off. You can't
but
do
that's,
nothing.
It's a selfish reason to not test for it.
That's my opinion. I've seen people like I've been at, because I went to go test for it at talent testing the first time. And I've seen people in there like be like, who are down, who maybe didn't know anything about it. They're like, oh, I'm a test for that too. It's free. And then the lady at the front desk told them that if they don't pass, they can't do it for 2 weeks. I'm like, fuck that.
They should tell them that. I feel like they shouldn't even tell them that.
It's good to know.
That you can't shoot for two weeks.
Because if you like have patients or something
say
like
no?
that. Yeah, they might say no, but at the same time,
and then what if they
to find out after the fact might be chaotic for a person.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, damn.
well, it's like chlamydia, gonorrhea. I'll, you know, take a few days off, get my meds, and I'll be fine. Oh, no, you can't test for 2 weeks. What?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it doesn't really make a difference, but it's fair to know. But, like, I don't know. I just didn't overthink it.
It's gonna get
I just
look heated.
At it like it's necessary. I'm going to do
yes,
it. And
right.
if I don't pass, I'll take the 2 weeks off. Luckily for me, I didn't have it. I've tested for it twice now, and I've been fine. Yeah, I've implemented it into my normal.
Mm-hmm.
Like every time one of these
yeah, why not?
New STD, like one of these drop, I just say,
did
fuck
you get
it.
All your all your STD badges?
No.
You do not have to catch them all.
Yeah, no, I don't want them. I don't want those badges.
Yeah.
Keep them in a while.
I mean, I think this is going to continue being controversy in the sex worker industry. I've heard about shoots getting canceled, you know, because
some people like only will require it now. Like, oh,
yes.
if you don't test for that, then
well, that's
we
what's
ain't
happening.
Working.
And then there's controversy between the two porn stars that are coming for the scene. And one is saying that you have to test, and the other saying, well, I'm not going to test. And then they're like, well, fine, then we're not doing it. And, you know, everybody loses a scene.
Yeah, true.
Which, you know, if it's somebody's boundaries, it's perfectly okay to cancel that scene. And I just think it's going to stir up a lot of drama, and we are just seeing the beginning of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. So, okay, I want to delve a little bit into content houses, because you have a content house.
I do.
Yes. So for those of us who don't know what a content house is at all, what is a content house?
So a content house is a house for content.
You can't use the word in the definition.
But it's the perfect fit. Okay. So to be more specific, because that is what a content house is pretty much. But like to be more specific, like me, there's two different types of content houses. Content houses are either houses that you book for events and you call that a content house.
Yeah.
So come to my content house and like you have it for a certain window. It's a nice, probably super extravagant looking place, mansion level type stuff.
Yeah.
And you come through.
What are ones like in Vegas that you know that are like that?
So, I've been to one, and actually, I think next week they're doing one. Girls Gone Wireless here in Vegas.
What?
Yeah, they do content houses either every 2 months or every 3 months. And they were doing it in Orlando for a while. They did it in Vegas last year, but it's going to be here in Vegas next week, and it's going to be like a week-long thing. So they have like – they booked this bomb-ass mansion, and then they just like – the first 3 days are just girls content.
Yeah.
The next 4 days
you
know, boy, girl, like just pretty much free range for you to shoot whatever you're into. But like, yeah, that's one content house where like you just pay, test as you're supposed to test, pay and attend and shoot as much content as your heart desires.
And it's like an event.
Yeah, it's an event. You come through, you network, you meet people. And if you want to shoot with some people on the spot and the feeling's mutual, boom, find a room, find the videographer because they have those on hand too.
Yeah, and they've got people there.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Just take your hard drive and collect. I love those depending on who's throwing them and who's there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, of course, you want the classic mutually beneficial.
Right,
you want to walk in a room full of people that you want to work with.
Yeah. Or you walk in as all guys and you're like,
I don't make guy content. What the hell? So, but like, so that's one kind of content house. Another content house, which is the one I have, is an actual, like, just you turn your home into
a content
space. So I have, I got
a
three, content home is what we'll call it. So I got a 3-bedroom house specifically so I can turn 2 of the bedrooms into content rooms that people can book.
Mm-hmm.
Come in, they either, like, if they're visiting from out of town, they can book and stay in those rooms and utilize them for all of their collabs as they would do a hotel room.
Yeah, camming.
Yeah, camming, all of that stuff, because it has a nice, you know, creative look to it. Like
right,
the way
like
that,
you're doing the decorations,
you know,
exactly.
It's catered to creators
and,
like, people who do spicy content. Same goes for other spaces in my home, the hallway leading to the rooms, living room spaces, the backyard.
Yeah.
It has the lighting, it has the equipment and stuff like that, so that people who need to rent it, need the space, need, you know, to stay there, they're visiting and all that stuff, can have it. And then at the same time for myself, like, it's my content space, so I don't ever have to book a hotel again.
Right.
Or, like, if any collab I do, we have this option now. We never have to do the whole conversation about, oh, who's booking the hotel do you have a location? I always
have a location. I can imagine that gets tiring really fast, having to like book hotels and everything. It just adds another element of like.
I did do it for 3 years.
Yeah, that's a lot because it's like everybody's budget, who's paying for it, how are we splitting it? Is one person paying for it?
So yeah, the budget is like, the housing budget is non-existent now because we have that location, bomb ass location that people can utilize.
So, content home, a hefty write off for your rent. That's awesome.
Taxes are going to be great. Yeah, they're going to be great.
Yeah, because it's now, what, like 99% of your house is 99%
of the income that I've gotten.
You like just can't do the bathrooms. You have to pay for the bathrooms. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's nice. That's good. And yeah, I see. I didn't really like differentiate those two, like the event style, but I realized when you were talking about it, I've gone to one of those where it was like, you know, an agency comes in, they rent a house, they might do it up a little bit, invite a bunch of people to come.
Yeah.
Versus like something that is always there, a constant, like you've got your playhouse. Like, I don't know if you, there's like the House of the X, and then there's, what's that?
Trippy House.
Yeah, I see Trippy House all the time. They were there at Exotica too. And that's more like where you have like all the rooms done up differently and people can come and do whatever they like.
Yeah, that's more of the vibe that I was trying to go for, like that style. So you can come through, you can have different things, different sets, different looks to like utilize.
Because right.
I've been to Trippy House once and I love that house.
Yeah, it's
a vibe. Especially the difference, like, with their house than versus mine is, at my house it's just me. At Trippy House there's so many other personalities and like creators like who are just there already, like Lydia,
a bunch of influence.
Like Cotton, you know, Cotton Candy, Charlie Classic coming in and out of there a lot.
Oh, is he?
Like
I didn't know he was part of that.
I think he's there enough.
He's just there all the time.
There enough. So it's like there's a variety of like the people to work with there. That's what I really, really love. And House of X is just fucking huge.
That's a mansion.
A lot of rooms, tons of space and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not to undersell mine, but I love my house. I love the Fox
Den
Finish
Playhouse.
Yeah, you have that variety, multiple rooms, and
It's nice.
Bomb-ass host.
Yeah. Anybody who's in Vegas, right? You have like so many resources here. And then I guess it's the same true. I bet there's a lot like in LA and Miami, right? Like this kind of areas. No?
I don't know
of any? No. I don't know. I'm just totally, you know, talking off the cuff. I don't know if there are or not. I just figured because they're more like,
I don't think so.
They have that industry there.
I can't think of one. I'm going to be honest.
Really? I don't know. If somebody knows LA or Miami.
They have that Pink Dungeon, but you can't stay there.
Where's the Pink Dungeon?
It's like downtown LA. It's like you have a lot of like dominatrix style stuff in there.
Ooh.
Dungeons there, like that giant X that you can strap people to, like the sets. But that's just like more of a studio space to rent and shoot.
Right,
you can't
right.
stay there. After a while, you have to leave.
That's another thing entirely, right?
Yeah.
Like renting BDSM spaces. Like that's totally a thing. Dungeons for rent. Actually, I did meet somebody at Exotica. I think they're in LA. I can't remember where they were exactly. But they have a dungeon that they do for rent, which would be like another thing. Maybe a content house has a dungeon in it. But if that's also something, if you're a dominatrix or a dom and you need a space to do those things, those are options too, right?
Yeah. Which I know for a fact Trippy House has a space for
like
that.
A dungeon space.
Yeah, that space.
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, that's really important for creators who don't necessarily want to like have it in their home or share their home or maybe they have roommates or something like that.
All
right?
Those factors. Like they don't want the hotel look, they don't want the hotel fees.
Yep.
They don't want, like, you know, like, they can't use their own houses for it, so let's go use a house that's not too far, because my house is, like, what, 15 minutes away from the Strip
and
the airport? So
and
not dummy far.
You could go one day and shoot a whole bunch of content. You could get a month's worth of content out of going to a content house, and then you don't have to worry about shooting anything in your own home. Maybe you have kids or something like that, and you don't want to shoot at your house, right?
And you just can't travel. Like, that's the thing, like, one thing I know for a... Like, I would at least say half of the creator community can't travel for whatever reason, but they will attend certain content houses. They will attend the Exoticas and things like that, because specifically during the Exoticas and things, you can try to schedule a bunch of collabs because there's so many people there.
Yeah.
So I used to do that when I lived in Ohio before I moved to Vegas, where it's like, okay, I still traveled. Don't get me wrong. I was a maniac. I traveled like weekly because I'm like, I'm getting this content.
Yeah.
Like, I've traveled the entire country at this point. Go to Vegas once a month, Miami once a month,
yeah.
LA, Texas once a month.
That's tiring.
But like, it does. You get burned out really fast.
Yeah.
But I was like, I prided myself on being consistent and always having content. And also, like, if I ended up, you know, God forbid, in a situation where I can't shoot for a while, like I did at the end of last year, I have a lot of content backlog.
Yeah.
Like, the entire 3 months that I took off, when those 3 months were done and I got back to shooting, I still had content.
Nice.
Throughout that whole time. So, like, it was reasons for that. But then, like, I was using Exoticas and booking like 3 shoots a day,
mm-hmm.
going there Thursday, staying till Monday, 3 shoots a day while still doing the convention, because again, I don't live in a porn city.
Right.
So I got to get as much as possible. And that's the perfect place to go to where everyone is.
Yeah.
So I don't have to travel to freaking random travel to Louisiana to shoot with this girl.
Just for like, you know,
for one collab when she's here in New Jersey. So let's do it. But like, since I've been in Vegas,
I know. It's different. I think it's funny that you called it a porn city.
The porn cities are LA, Miami, and Vegas.
It's true. Yeah. That's what I tell people. Like, I was trying to explain to my mom. I was like, basically, I live in like a hot spot for this industry. Like, it makes a lot of sense for where I am.
Like, I'll never run out of people to work with.
No.
There's a lot of people who not just live here, but everyone comes through here.
Mm-hmm.
There's always someone that hits you up. Like, oh, I'm coming to town.
Yeah. Or
let's
the people who are in LA come up here all the time.
All the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's also a great thing about LA and Vegas being so close together.
Mm-hmm.
It's very inexpensive to cross between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if you want to work with somebody in LA and vice versa, it's very easy to just set it up. And
you can drive with all your equipment, which is awesome, because that, I would imagine, is another whole hurdle if you're flying, you know, across the country to work with somebody and you need, you know, all your different lights and your cameras.
Cram everything, carry all that stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, like, sex toys and stuff, they're one, heavy and not easy to pack because they're kind of temperamental. Like, you squish a dildo wrong and it's squished like that for the rest of its life.
Yep.
Like, it will always have like a flat spot where it was crammed in the suitcase. Yeah. There's a lot of good points. I mean, there's a lot of good reasons that somebody would use a content house. And then as far as like safety in procuring a content house, would you go about that kind of in a similar way to how you're looking at creators as an individual, if they're legit or not?
Same thing that applies for like collabs apply for the house. Cause I'm like, okay, so it's real. It's like you said at the beginning where it's like, I can't promote it like I would an Airbnb or anything like that. Maybe on Twitter to that audience and stuff like that here and there, but I don't really want to do that either because I can't just let whoever come.
Right.
You have to be an established creator or spicy creator. And you also have to have some form of a referral.
Yeah.
Because for one, it's my house.
Yeah.
So you can't just bring whoever in there. That
this
might be nuts.
My address.
Like, please don't kill us. Like, like if you're crazy
safety
as hell on Twitter, I'm not letting you in my house. That's a safety thing.
Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, like, you also, like, if I'm bringing people are coming through as well,
mm-hmm.
you want to make sure you have people, like, who are like, oh, hey, how you doing? You can talk to and, like, network work and stuff like that and just don't come off as a psychopath. Like, so.
That would be awkward. They come over and they just don't talk. Are we going to shoot the content yet? That would not be fun. Yeah.
Not judging or anything, but like preferably like mostly it's referral based for me.
Yeah.
Like somebody will like say, for instance, you come and stay at the house for whatever reason. And then when you leave, you like hop on Twitter or IG story or something like that. I'm like, oh, I stayed at Finney's place. It was great there. You know, I had a great time.
Yeah.
And somebody see that and be like, either reach out for you for more info
mm-hmm.
or that would be enough. And they'll be like, cool, bet, stay in there.
Yeah.
Let me hit him up. Hey, I saw Stella have posted this and she has stayed there. I'm coming to town and I would love to stay there or like book the space to shoot. Or the more normal one is when people come to my house to shoot, like say they're staying there and they're setting up their own collabs.
Mm-hmm.
The people they collab with a lot of the times. Yeah. They like the space because they shot there.
Right.
You know, they like the space and they're like, oh, I would love to book this to, you know,
then they come back
next
again.
Time. Then uh-huh. they'll come back again. Or if they're coming from out of town, they're like, oh, next time I come in town, I want to stay here. Mm-hmm. Or the last one, my collabs. A lot of times somebody will fly into town and we'll shoot at my house 9 out of 10 times versus their hotel. And then they'll be like, oh, next time I come to town, can I just stay here and shoot versus the hotel? Like, it's a lot more affordable and your rooms look nicer.
Business.
I'm
like, yeah, you're doing so good at customer service. Yeah, nice. That's important. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, safety, number one, checking out the person, get a referral, ask somebody that you know, hopefully if you don't know anybody, you know, start getting to know people, whether it be through Instagram, other creators that you trust or like or match with and, mm-hmm. you know, talk to them. Ideally, it's really the best to meet people in person, I find. That's why I like these conventions so much, is you get to meet people and actually get a feel for who they are and how you guys vibe together.
Cause I agree.
That's really important, especially if you're creating content. Like, you should never feel pressured to create content. It's one, not going to make good content, but you're just always going to feel weird about it. I feel like it's like boundaries. Like once you go over it, like it's going to bring that kind of like uneasy feeling. Like you're going to feel weird about promoting it and selling it. It's not going to come across as genuine. So all that's really important stuff to check out.
I think you said it at the beginning of the thing too, because it's like a lot of those bigger collabs that you end up getting in your career come from meeting that person in person.
Yes.
A lot of them don't even check DMs. So a lot of these people, yes. you have to like attend certain events and yeah. like just be social and be out there and meet them. And then they meet you, they'll vibe with you, they're yeah. comfortable with you. Maybe y'all decided, oh, we're going to go to this party later. Are you going to be there? And then you're there. And then they, you know, oh, hey, it's you. And then, you know, y'all yeah. get to talking and stuff. Like, we met Exotica, right?
Yep.
So, like, we yeah, that was Exotica. Definitely, like, a big influence, like, when it came to us deciding, like, oh, let's link with this person. Yep. You know, I kind of got the vibe. Let's totally. Link and let's, you know,
network. I don't think if I hadn't met you at Exotica, if I had, like, come across you online now, having been back in Vegas and be like, oh, he's in Vegas too, I probably would not have gone out on a limb to go do content with you if I didn't know who you were first.
Yeah, understandable. It's like that for a lot of people.
Right. There's just women. A lot of people. Right, exactly. Yeah. Especially for women, like, looking out, like, I don't want to say that you're, like, privileged, but there is a little bit more, like, being a guy of just a little bit more security that people aren't necessarily always going to be trying to take advantage of you. As a woman in the industry, like, you really should have eyes on the back of your head looking out for yourself, because yep. there's always that person somewhere looking to take advantage of that situation.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's why it is so important. That's why I really wanted to ask you, like, with content houses and with male creators, like, how do people go about making sure they're safe? So I really appreciate you kind of getting into how people can do that, because that's really important. Your safety is number one. You can't replace your body parts, you know, not cheap bleach, at least. Yeah. You need all that stuff. Yeah. And, you know, that's really important. And more importantly, you can't be replaced as a person, right? So making sure that you're taking care of yourself first is really important.
Yeah.
And to that, not to ramble on, I know we've been talking an hour, but you were also at the Pineapple Support Table,
mm-hmm.
Which is another really important thing, which is mental health, your physical safety, but mental health and mental safety.
Yep.
I mean, is there anything, I don't know if, how involved you are with that, or if you're just at the table, but do you have anything you want to say?
I'm an ambassador.
Did you just
for Pineapple
sneak
Support.
In there?
They brought me out.
You're an official ambassador. Awesome. Yeah.
So I've always wanted to be. It was actually like one of my big professional goals to end up being an ambassador for them. So that was like one of my biggest professional accomplishments, is making that happen. I love them to death. They've been there for me personally, like yeah. early in my career, and helped, you know, pretty much shape the direction of my career, because I feel like without them, I wouldn't still be here professionally speaking. I would have gave up a long time ago. I would have just got too
just
burnt
to your
out.
Own street. Yeah, the burnout. Yeah.
The burnout was like really bad. I shot for like a year and a half straight with no breaks, to the point where I like hate it.
Yeah, this stuff. You can't do that. You got to batch.
And they got me together. They helped me like find perspective. They helped me find like a better direction and just be able to manage things better. So I wanted to pay things forward and ended up becoming ambassador for them early 2022.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, they're real advocates for mental health. They super sex worker friendly.
Yeah.
And yeah, they look out for us. They brought me off to Miami for the table. It's their first time doing the table. And it's actually interesting how they actually came about.
Yeah.
Because we, a group of us used to go with, are you familiar with Why Not?
Yes.
Remember the controversy and all the stuff that they were.
I use Why Not Mail right now.
Yeah, but the controversy earlier this year with, the summer, possibly, let's say earlier this year, with the owner and, you know, abuse allegations and, like, you know.
Oh, I did hear that. That's actually the reason I'm trying to get away from Why Not. I forgot, and now I remembered.
So it was like, I think it was over the summer because they were supposed to have an award show in, like, the end of the summer, but that ended up just pretty much, they're like ghosts right now.
Yeah,
but like,
right.
So they used to bring out a group of us to the Exotica. So all of the Exoticas that I've been to prior to the most recent one, Why Not brought me out. And I just worked their table. And it was just us promoting ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, our brands and things like that, which after a while for me started to get redundant to the point where I didn't even want to go to Miami.
Yeah.
Because I'm like,
I kind of hear that a lot from people that go a lot. Like they go every year and then they're like, I cannot do this.
Yeah, I'm over it. But so that table, obviously Exotica disassociated with them. Like a lot of other brands did. So I was like, well, I couldn't go if I wanted to. Unless I want to walk the floor, which I really don't want to. But then the lady that runs Pineapple Square actually emailed me and she was like, hey, you know, you're one of our ambassadors. And we also noticed that you were with the Why Not group. And we were offering this thing to the people who were originally going to work, you know, that booth, you know, that they can work the Pineapple Support booth instead, just to give them, you know, y'all got pretty much your home destroyed.
Right,
so here's a new home type thing. So I was like, okay.
That's great. That's a good show of goodwill.
Yeah. But at first for me, that wasn't really enough to make me want to go. What was the deciding factor for me, other than a friend of mine that convinced me to go, was my purpose was different now. Like, okay, now I'm not just going to promote myself I typically do. I'm going to promote Pineapples.
Yeah.
So once they told me that I was going to be the person that heads the table and stuff like that, I was like, yeah, I'm in there.
Cool.
Like, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to, like, they had a psychologist, psychiatrist?
Psychologist is the one you talk to.
For therapy.
Psychiatrist is the one that can prescribe.
Okay, let's say psychologist. Yeah, I don't know.
If they can write you a prescription, they're a psychiatrist.
The guy that does therapy, that's what we're going to call him.
Yeah. both do therapy.
They both do. But one of them can do more, like prescribe.
Yeah, only one of them can write you a prescription.
I don't know if he can do that. So let's just call him the therapy guy. But they had somebody at the table. And I was just, he was sitting next to me, and I was just pretty much hyping up the brand and pointing people to him. Giving out his cards and stuff. I have my stuff, my stickers.
I think I got
stuff,
his card. I'm fairly certain I literally have one of those cards like right in here. But anyway.
That was fun. I loved that table. And I would absolutely go back again if they invited me. That would be
Pineapple Support is such a good resource. I've been seeing they've been doing webinars lately. They had one recently on like suicide awareness and prevention. So free webinars, resources. It is super important if you're seeking like mental health support therapy that they are sex worker friendly. Because if you just go about, you know, your regular therapist, they might be coming from a belief that sex work is self-harm in itself.
With that comes its own monster where you're trying to be open and talk to them and their advice starts to become a little biased.
Right. Like, they're telling you to stop.
Sex work is bad.
Yeah. You need to get out of this work. This work is ruining your mental health. Or the other thing, which would happen where you're lying to your therapist, which I don't think is a great way to get.
Because you know already. So we don't want that. But with Pineapple Support,
you
get
hide things from your therapist.
What do they call it? It's, you can get like mental health, like speak to a therapist once a week at a subsidized rate, like a rate that y'all come up with together.
Through Pineapple Support
that like works for you and stuff like that. And you know, your mental health, your peace, your happiness is the most important thing.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So they definitely want to you know, do what they can.
Mm-hmm. I think they're really great. That it's awesome that you're a part of that. Yay.
I love it. It's my favorite.
So any golden nuggets that you want to give out to maybe any new adult content creators out there, if you had one piece of advice to hand out, and it can't be just be yourself.
No, it can't just be never change, be yourself. Okay.
The yearbook writings, never change. Have a great summer.
I would just say, don't talk yourself out of your blessings, if that makes sense. Because a lot of times there's a lot of things, like one thing in particular for me is Kick, the streaming platform.
Yeah.
I kept talking myself out of doing it for a year almost.
Yeah.
To where it's like, I kept telling myself, you could do this, you could be a streamer. And I just kept making excuses to why I should put it off, mostly mm-hmm. just put it off and either not take it as seriously as everything else, don't do it, don't invest in it and stuff like that. Eventually, I just said F it and jumped into it. And so that applies to a lot of different things. A lot of times we talk ourselves out of things that are right there in front of us that we can like go for. Like if they're a model that you want to DM and talk to, DM her. What's the worst that happens? She'll say no? Okay, at least you asked.
Right.
Like if there's something you want to invest in, like, oh, I've been working with this camera and this laptop, but I kind of want to upgrade to this. If you can do it, do it.
Yeah.
If you can't, work towards it.
Right.
Don't just say no and make excuses because like you're seeing it. You want it for a reason. You want to reach out to that person for a reason. You want to equip this for a reason. You want to start this for a reason because you believe in yourself. So don't stop believing in yourself.
Yeah,
just kind of like, listen, don't be afraid to take that jump, mm-hmm. you know, if necessary.
Do I have it up here still? I used to keep it on my board. It's not up there anymore,
mm-hmm.
but I had the words written, don't overthink it. Just do it.
Yeah, pretty much. Don't overthink it. I've overthought myself out of a lot of my blessings that I either just never went back to regret it or went to eventually, and I'm like, I should have started this a while ago.
Exactly, because like you're so worried about it being perfect now, or we're afraid that it's not going to be perfect, or whatever. Like, whatever, if you have nothing, you have nothing.
Yeah, zero times zero is zero.
Exactly, right. So, like, you know, you got to start somewhere. Everybody started somewhere. And you know, give yourself that same grace. So yeah, you can open up the world to those blessings, those possibilities.
Yeah.
And I like the other little piece in that too, which was like, if you like are wanting something, like listen to those things. Cause those can be really powerful drivers.
Yeah.
You know, if you're pushing yourself to do something you don't want to do, that's going to suck too.
A lot goes into the statement of trust your gut, because with that is like everything that we just said applies to that. But then also like healthy things. Like if you're too tired to shoot, don't shoot.
Yep.
It's fine if you need to like reschedule something. Like listen to your body. A lot of times I didn't.
Yeah.
And I was just like, no, I got to do this and I got to do that. And it's mid scene.
Yeah. Yeah. The content.
And I can only blame myself because I'm like, I just wasn't physically, I just was out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, now professionally, it's like, okay, I got to trust myself 100%. If I'm too tired to do something, then don't.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I care about my results and things like that. And then same goes for like, just trusting your gut when it comes to like the Exotica thing. And I was like, damn, well, I don't really want to go to Exotica. But then when all that new stuff was being offered to me,
you know,
like these opportunities, especially with that beautiful brand of Pineapple Support, I'm like, my gut is like, go. I know you don't feel like it, but go. I was like, okay, I'm going to go. And it was one of the best, if not the best Exotica I've ever been to. And mind you, I've been to Exoticas where like I've had fun, I've met a lot of cool people, and had some of the best collabs of my career.
So, Finny, if people want to check you out on your socials, where can they find you? What's your apps?
So I'm on every major social media platform under Finny's Playhouse. Thankfully, they're all Finny's Playhouse.
Wise move.
I think everything I have.
Yeah.
Like even on the
even
Spicy side of
things.
Mini Vids, OnlyFans, Pornhub, Finny's Playhouse.
Master.
Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Finny's Playhouse.
That's amazing. Finny's Playhouse.
I think the only one that's different is my no pay-per-view OF is Finny Fans VIP.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a really good marketing move.
Let's just say go to Finny. FinnyLinks.com has everything.
FinnyLinks.com.
Yeah,
another good marketing move, my man. Buying your own domain. Super smart. I love it.
It's lit.
Really nice to talk with you, Finn. Thanks for coming and hanging out with me.
Thank you for having me.
You are such a nice person, and I'm really glad that we met at Exotica's.
Thank you for listening to the Money in XXX podcast. We are brought to you by Minx Digital. You can find all our socials, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram at Minx Social, M-I-N-X Social. I'm your host, Stella Sky. Thank you for listening with us today, and looking forward to our next podcast.